And so there's all I can say is what I've said.
Mr. Secretary, have you yet read the Tacuba report?
It's which
pages?
Yeah, I think you're talking about the executive summary. I've seen the executive summary. The fifth.
You read through it, sir?
I've been through it. Whether have read every page? No. There's a lot of references and documentation to laws and conventions and procedures and requirements, but I've certainly read the conclusions and the and other aspects of it.
Just to follow up on Jamie's question, given the ramifications of not only what is in this report, the findings specifically, but the pictures, the photographs that you knew as of a couple of weeks ago are going to be broadcast, why did you not feel incumbent upon you at that time to ask for the findings, to take a look at the pictures beforehand, so you could perhaps be prepared to deal with some of the world reaction?
I think I did inquire about the pictures and was told that we didn't have copies.
Mr. Secretary, I did ask how you felt this episode has in fact damaged
the
U.S. efforts.
I answered that earlier. I'm not in a position to make a judgment. Time will tell. Clearly, we would wish it would not, because it is an exceptional, isolated, we hope an isolated case. And our country is our country, and it is a wonderful country, and the American people are wonderful people, and our armed forces are wonderful people. And when one drops a plumb line through the totality of that, is it perfect? No. Are there things like this that happen?
Shut the hell up, Rumsfeld. This nonsense about, you have not yet read all of the report. Okay, how about looking at the motherfucking pictures, you torturing dog? Can you analyze that and see what the hell you guys are up to? Well, of course, because it's been going on for over a year. And then you babble out all this nonsense about, well, you don't think and didn't think about all of the requirements that were at hand. Well, how about treating people other than how you like to treat Abner Louima? In other words, we know that you're trying to Negrofy the whole world, but maybe the whole world ain't going for it. As a matter of fact, soon the original Negroes ain't going to be going for it again. And then you're really going to have hell to pay, pig. You know what time it is, slave time. You're listening to 104.1, 96.3, Santa Cruz, 106.7, Illinois, LUVER.com, the world's slave revolt time. Tonight we're going to venture into the corporate media land as we're going to deal with the Rumsfeld follies. What he was saying back in the day when imperialism, torture, and havoc amongst the Iraqi people seemed A-okay. And what the buffoon is trying to say now, and how the corporate media is covering it. Then Gerald shoot into the Making It Plain news update. So we got all that and a hell of a lot more on 104.1 Slave Revolt.
Thank you. Land of the Brave. You will tell me to be your messenger of death, your emissary of war, your harbinger of destruction. You will teach me to kill. And teach me well. But if I die, how will you justify my death? America, will you say I died the good old American way, defending freedom and justice? But whose freedom and whose justice? America, home of the free, land of the brave. You arrogantly tell me to be your protector, defender of freedom. Can you not see the paradox of such a contention? America, shall you justify my death by saying, those who you send me to kill are malicious criminals for whom death is a fitting end? America, how shall this be just means when you have done me more offense than those you sent me to kill? Home of the free, land of the brave. You will tell me to be your messenger of death. America. Home of the free, land of the brave. How do you justify my death?
Media tells you the truth. The media. The media. The media. How many of you really believe that the media tells you the truth?
They lie.
And for people like these, an incredible weapon has been found. our State Department, the Pentagon, and the White House have bravely proclaimed that they have the right.
You know what time it is now. Ventures in corporate media land. And tonight, what we're going to deal with is the Rumsfeld Follies. How Rumsfeld is dealing with their current crisis of torture in Iraq and the spin he's trying to put on it along with some of his other compadres, and how the corporate media is using any kind, if any, historical background to see if what he's saying concerning it being an aberration and a shock and things of that particular nature, to see if that holds true in any real and fundamental way. So first off, let's start off when Rumsfeld gives his little personal confessional, and then we'll take it from there. Check this out.
Chairman, members of the committee, in recent days there has been a good deal of discussion about who bears responsibility for the terrible activities that took place at Abu Ghraib. These events occurred on my watch. As Secretary of Defense, I am accountable for them, and I take full responsibility. It's my obligation to evaluate what happened, to make sure that those who have committed wrongdoing are brought to justice, and to make changes as needed to see that it doesn't happen again. I feel terrible about what happened to these Iraqi detainees. They're human beings. They were in U.S. custody. Our country had an obligation to treat them right. We didn't, and that was wrong. So to those Iraqis who were mistreated by members of the U.S. Armed Forces, I offer my deepest apology. It was inconsistent with the values of our nation. It was inconsistent with the teachings of the military to the men and women of the armed forces. And it was certainly fundamentally un-American. Further, I deeply regret the damage that has been done, first to the reputation of the honorable men and women of the armed forces who are courageously and responsibly and professionally defending our freedoms across the globe. They are truly wonderful human beings, and their families and their loved ones can be enormously proud of them. Second to the President, the Congress, and the American people, I wish I had been able to convey to them the gravity of this before we saw it in the media. And finally, to the reputation of our country. The photographic depictions of the U.S. military personnel that the public has seen have offended and outraged everyone in the Department of Defense. If you could have seen the anguished expressions on the faces of those in our department upon seeing those photos, you would know how we feel today.
All right, first off, you know, it's quite incredible that Rumsfeld can get up there in front of the world and spout off this nonsense without fear that a lightning bolt would strike him down. There's proof right there there is no God. Because if there was, his ass surely, if anyone deserves to be lit up, old Rumsfeld, boy, surely, old Allah, or what's some of these other guys' name? God, or, you know, whatever hocus-pocus name you go by, surely a lightning bolt would have done him in. But when he says that this is inconsistent with the value of our nation, America's military is so deeply rooted in terrorism, it's almost beyond belief. You know, when the American G.I. Joes first started to trample all over the American Indians, they wouldn't even hesitate to cut off the breast of the American women, Indian women, scoop out the flesh, let it dry out, and use as tobacco patches. They would cut out their inside private parts and stretch it over their little hats and stuff. You know, it was like all a joke. the most vilest forms of torture and humiliation, Sam knew and knows no bounds. And also the fact that you can have all these people right now sitting up in jail because they're trying to close the School of the Americas, which does what? Teach the art of torture. That's what the School of the Americas is for. That's what it was created for, right? To do just what these pictures helped expose them. The School of the Americas was established over 50 years ago. It's sitting up there in Georgia and many of Latin America's and other places' greatest torturers and barbarians have been graduates from the School of the Americas. This is incredible. And this shows how gumpified down the population is and the role of the corporate media, where a fool like this can get up there and feel that he can get away with saying such things without being contradicted. You know, one of the torturers from Panama that was trained at the School of the Americas admitted that when they don't have the political dissidents and other suspects to torture on, they just go and round up homeless people to torture. This is how vile. This is the type of gulag mentality that these guys have created. So here he is now saying his deepest apologies, right? And how this is un-American. Well, this is as American as apple pie and lynchings. So, and then he tries to round it off about how this is a bad mark on truly courageous people who serve in our armed forces and who are wonderful human beings and da-da-da-da-da. Now, this gets to the heart of, because many liberal buffoons get caught up in this thing about anytime you come down hard on the police or the military, the role of the police in the military, they want to get into this, well, they're not all bad. You know, you can't lump them all in. See, it's not about does Johnny go in to a little mosque and pray to his invisible man, you know, every day like he's supposed to or whatever. Does he or does he not slap his kids around? That's not the issue concerning the role of the military or the police. If you align yourself with the imperialist apparatus of the military or the police, you are an agent of repression internally, i.e. the police, and externally, i.e. the U.S. military killing machine. It has nothing to do with your personal conduct as far as how you treat your family members, or do you bend your knees five times a day to some invisible man, or do you go to church, or any of that type of stuff. That's irrelevant from where I'm coming from. At the end of the day is, what side of the class line do you align yourself? Do you align yourself with the rulers, the imperialists, the corporatists, the expansionists for the U.S. empire that are trying to maintain at any cost their status quo hegemony over the world? If you do that, then you're an agent of repression. No matter how well, how softly, how many bedtime stories you read your little kid a book at night, that's the real world. All this other stuff is truly hocus pocus.
Yeah, and I tell you what, brothers and sisters, I have in my hand about 50 quotes from the various magazines that have put out to show that the United States has been endorsing torture. How many of you have heard of Omar al-Farouk? They just recently let him go. Well, here's how he was treated according to the New York Times, March 9, 2003. The Times reported that, and I quote, "Intelligence officials also acknowledged that some suspects had been turned over to security services in countries known to employ torture. There have been isolated and persistent reports of beatings in some American-operated centers, and that in the case of Omar al-Farouk's interrogation, the Western intelligence officials described Mr. Farouk's interrogation as, get this, folks, not quite torture, but about as close to it as you can get over a three-month period. The suspect was fed very little while being subjected to sleep and light deprivation, prolonged isolation, and room temperatures that varied from 100 degrees to 10 degrees. Now, this is, they cop to this one. You understand? I can go on and on. But just to show you, let's just leave that alone, because that's what they call not quite torture. On the truth, did you know that 25 prisoners have died while held by U.S. forces? That's right. Well, that's in Iraq and Afghanistan. And two of them were murdered in Iraq by Americans, and the U.S. Army officials actually, you know, grabbed some scapegoats on that one. But it blew my mind that there's something else going on here, and that is that the U.S. Army has a reputation of shooting wounded people, shooting people that are standing by. This is happening every day.
And what's interesting is about 3 weeks ago to a month, they actually showed the U.S. soldiers shooting a wounded person on a CNN. They were justifying it, and they were into this kind of macho rules of engagement, bending the rules of engagement. And it showed an Iraqi cat who had been wounded. He was clearly still alive. He was completely disabled. And he was laying on the ground. And then you hear the Marines on their little walkie-talkies talking to one another, saying, yeah, he's still moving. And then they order the guy just to machine gun blast him down. And then they all start cheering when they machine gunned him up.
And he's laying on the ground helpless.
Completely helpless.
Yeah. Now, Tracy, you remember back in Somalia, what was it that triggered the resistance of the Somali people to the point where they wanted to kill every one of them?
Well, the main thing was that when they got caught roasting alive a little black kid, they had him over an open pit of fire. Yeah, I mentioned this in my commentary. In my commentary, an ear full of American savagery is more than what Mike Tyson could ever bite off. And the reason why I mentioned this in the commentary is because the same day that these UN troops got off the hook in court for getting caught on picture roasting alive a little black kid over an open pit of fire was the same day that Mike Tyson was stripped of his or banned from boxing for a year to the delight of the American public. But they had no ears for the little kids, black kids in Somalia, who was still screaming from that terror and horror.
Boy, you something special. Tell us another one, though. This is the other one I'm talking about. When they had the meeting in the community, remember?
Oh, okay. Well,
there's so many atrocities, it's hard to nail them down. But
that one was when they had many of the elders in the community who were getting together saying, look, we need to solve this conflict. There's a lot of hostility going on. Many people are angry because the U.S. G.I. Joes are flying their Black Hawk helicopters so low that it's blowing off the dresses of women and blowing some of the babies right out of their arms and things of that nature. And while they were having this meeting with about 40-plus people, suddenly they get hit, not by Black Hawk helicopters, but Apache helicopters that have tow missiles attached to them, and they're firing them into the building. Now, these type of penetrating missile projectors, they penetrate intentionally into the building first, and then they explode. So they're intended and designed for maximum collateral damage on human living beings within an infrastructure. And at that point, when all of these dead clergies and elder were, you know, being blown apart, the folks said, well, I mean, they only understand, John Wayne only understands one thing, a bullet in his ass.
And that's what they gave him.
Yep.
Well, guess what? They just pulled the same thing in Iraq. Basically, in a city called Nafja, dozens of the followers of Shia leader Muqtada al-Sadr, you know, they were burying these bodies, and then the reporter went and asked them what was happening. It winds up that these two bodies were coffins of senior sheikhs, Methil al-Khuzani and Sashit al-Mahawi. Now, get this. I know I'm rough with the names, folks, but how this happened. They were having a community meeting. Now, what was the, where were they? They were at, they were inside of, you know, this office that is called the Babylon Peace Center. Now, this is the part that gets me. A few months earlier, hawkish U.S. Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz had visited the offices of the Human Rights Organization to praise its efforts. Hazin al-Safi from the group used to be proud of a photograph showing him shaking hands with Wolfowitz. He feels differently now. So basically,
what happened? The wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, well, the army came in there and they walked up to the sheiks, assassinated them from within 3 feet, two of them. And then they arrested this other guy. Now, this was a community meeting where they was trying to figure out, look, how can we stop the fighting? Literally. Well, I guess it won't be much of a problem recruiting from them folks. You understand what I'm saying? So, and you have to wonder. So these 15 soldiers went in, they assassinated the sheiks, and then they kidnapped two other people who have yet to be, they have disappeared within the army apparatus. And you want to talk about character.
Okay. Now here's Rumsfeld. Let's go back a ways. Here's Rumsfeld basically lying to the press. This is more than like 6-8 months ago. He's lying to their press about the weapons of mass destruction and Cancer Colin Powell's address at the UN. And check out what he's saying about this whole situation and how boldacious and arrogant he is. And then assess it to how the corporate media is addressing specifically what he's saying now and what they're concentrating on. Check this out.
That my observation on the intelligence, although it's not my business, but I read it, is that it's been good. It's been enriched as they've gone through this past period of years, and that I believe that the presentation made by Secretary Powell was accurate, and will be proved to be accurate.
Sir, do you think it makes sense for Congress to investigate that and to dig into what the intelligence showed?
I think Congress, under Article 1 of the Constitution, has an obligation to conduct oversight, and it's their call as to whether they wish to do that. Obviously, if they decide to do that, we would certainly cooperate. General Myers is here as well. And I think they're discussing how they may or may not want to do that now. I don't know. I don't deal with the intelligence committees. I deal with the service committee.
Well, we see a lot of the intelligence community. Would the DIA, et cetera, could cooperate with a congressional investigation?
Oh, my goodness, of course. We cooperate with the congressional work all the time.
What is your best knowledge of his status?
I don't know. He was in the southern part of the country. They had locations on him. They attacked locations where they believed him to be. There was some speculation afterwards that they thought that he had been killed. Now there's some speculation that he may be alive, but I just don't know. Do you know any more?
No, that's exactly right. I think through some of the interrogations, they think that he may be alive right now. So that's how we're referring him, actually.
Now here, this, like I said, this is a while ago. But the reason why I played it is look at the stuff he was spinning out. First, he was saying that colon cancer's Powell's address at the UN, the one that had been thoroughly discredited, was accurate. This is a person right there that it was obvious, because even at that time, we were just slamming him and colon cancer for all of the rhetoric that he was saying. It couldn't be backed up. It was exposed for being lies. Then he has the nerve to turn around and say that he doesn't deal with the intelligence committee and communities and all of that type of stuff. You know, like he just stays out of that fray. Now, this is the same person who started the Office of Strategic Influence. That was Rumsfeld. When he wasn't getting the reports that he wanted laid out by the CIA about, you know, the weapons of mass destruction story and all of that, you know, the African-Niger-Iraq connection, he creates this disinformation Institute. Now, of course, he's dealing with the intelligence committee and trying to play an influence on that whole community and stuff when you're setting up your own little special psyops, intelligence squad. Then he he's saying all of this type of stuff. Then now here he has a track record, a hardcore track record that exposes him for being a deceitful, inhumane savage. But if you notice, the corporate media, while it is forced to, because in an era where people aren't really into reading much, but they're very into the visual, the pictures in this case say a million words, and they haven't been able to fight themselves out of the slime that they normally try to wash off. So they're stuck in their own filth of quicksand on this situation. But the corporate media basically is into this, will he apologize, will he not apologize, well, some of the stuff has been reported before, you know, and on, where this is Rumsfeld saying this stuff months ago directly to them. They can just gather what he has said directly to them. That has been proven completely false, completely fictitious, and build up a story that this person deserves no credibility. Your credibility doesn't just come and rise just because you're willing to, quote unquote, to apologize. But this is the level that the corporate media has sunk to in America.
Yes, sir. Well, back though to this Powell being accurate. Now you done made me start talking about Powell now. Oh, colon cancer. Now I'm going to tell you what's up. Colon cancer Powell broke into and really started to gain influence within the U.S. American military machinery through his cover-up of the My Lai massacre. That was the first real thing he did to make his mark. Now this is the whole regime, the Bush regime, but let's get over to colon cancer for a minute. So after he covers that thing up, because I want to tell you something. When that came out, 1969, it actually came out and people found out about it. Oh, and by the way, I do need to make one more remark. You should know that as this massacre was in progress, there were a group of soldiers that stopped it. That's important to realize. I thought they killed all the people. I just reread an important account. And a dude in a helicopter brought the helicopter down and told his men, if any of them, if they refuse to stand down, open up on them. And he made them stand down, which left a small minority of the villagers still alive. But why that is important is because this is the contradiction of U.S. imperialism. They talk all this old stuff about, yeah, you got to be great, you got to be good, you got to be, this is America, all that. But in reality, to tell you the truth, any war machine that you in that is occupying other people's country against their will is going to degenerate to this type of activity of these tortures and these humiliations. See, that's the fact. In fact, let me just share this with y'all now. See, when one uses the term systemic, and we talk about, you know, something is systematic or systemic, we are saying that the source of the abuse is not individual moral failure, no, but a predictable expression of the system and its structures, okay? The abuses of detainees by U.S. troops and by their, you know, mercenaries and hired killers and the Titan Corporation mercenaries, the CACI International, and by the CIA in Iraq is indeed systematic. But don't you ever forget that there are those individuals, and they're very important, that come forward as soldiers and witness to this brutality and tell the truth, because that's how it got out. Some people got them pictures together and said, no, this is wrong, and went on. By the way, Mr. Rumsfeld had saw those pictures January. Okay? So that's kind of very important to keep in mind here when we're talking about all of this. And when Tracy's showing you the treachery of the media. And that what that is, though, back to old colon cancer. Old colon cancer Powell set up something called the Powell Doctrine. And what that basically is that you got to dominate the media and get the media to doing and working with the military machinery and working with the government all together in keeping you, brothers and sisters, ignorant of the facts.
Now, next, Rumsfeld goes into what he claims he feels is honorable about the G.I. Joe who brought the pictures to light. Now, as we know, if they could have, they would have suppressed the pictures and knocked G.I. Joe out of existence. And they've done those types of things before. They've attacked reporters for, like, the Tailwind scandal, when those reporters courageously exposed how the U.S. military used biological or chemical weapons on their own troops. What happened to them? Colin Powell and a number of military officials came running out to attack the writers and the producers of that story and then dislodged them from their position. But let's hear what Rumsfeld has to say, and we'll take it from there. Check this out.
It's important for the American people and the world to know that while these terrible acts were perpetrated by a small number of U.S. military, they were also brought to light by the honorable and responsible actions of other military personnel. There are many who did their duty professionally, and we should mention that as well. First Specialist Joseph Darby, who alerted the appropriate authorities that abuses were occurring. Second, those in the military chain of command who acted promptly on learning of those abuses by initiating a series of investigations, criminal and administrative, to assure that abuses were stopped and that the responsible chain of command was relieved and replaced. Having said that, all the facts that may be of interest are not yet in hand. In addition to the Taguba report, there are other investigations underway, and we'll be discussing those today. And because all the facts are not in hand, there will be corrections and clarifications to the record as more information is learned. From the witnesses, you will be told the sequence of events and investigations that have taken place since the activities first came to light. I want to inform you of the measures underway to improve our performance in the future. Before I do that, let me say that each of us at this table is either in the chain of command or has senior responsibilities in the Department of Defense. This means that anything we say publicly could have an impact on the legal proceedings against those accused of wrongdoing in this matter. So please understand that if some of our responses to questions are measured, it is to assure that pending cases are not jeopardized by seeming to exert command influence and that the rights of any accused are protected.
Now just think about, okay, what he said, and check this out. When you have someone talking about how they are trying to protect people's rights, this is an aberration. The U.S. imperial machine was involved in the creation of the Mujahideen. They were in alignment with Al-Qaeda, and they had no problems with Saddam. All of these networks, at one time or another, were deeply involved in torture and terrorism. And many of the arsenal that they got, whether they were cattle prods, whether they were other torture devices, chemical and or biological weapons, training, they all got from Sam. They all got from Sam. Al-Qaeda, Saddam, Mujahideen, the same ones that now they're supposed to be battling. This is Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, now calling to the villagers to say, go destroy my Frankenstein monster. And he wants you to be hypnotized and chasing after his Frankenstein monster while he's up in his castle making more of them in his School of the Americas.
Exactly.
Now look, also, when you have a clown that talks about the U.S. image abroad and the U.S. military and how the U.S. conducted itself and so on and so forth, you know, it's often said, first look at home. Let's look at home. We've dealt with many of these issues before, but let's bring them and relate them to what's going on in Iraq now as far as how they are treating people who are locked up in the dungeons. You've heard me talk about this guy right out of the shoe, you know, in these little Corcoran prisons, the booty bandit. I did a whole On Sam's Plantation on this one brother who the police intentionally threw into the same cell with a known brute rapist who they intentionally put you in with if they want you to get brutalized and raped by him for punishment. So here is someone who is basically a torturer for the prison guards.
Right.
And they use this type of diabolical, inhumane, savage treatment on prisoners all the time. You got Abner Louima, who had some, you know, obscene obstacle thrust up his rectum, you know, something like a mop handle or something obscene like the American flag or something sick like that. You had situations where you had collateral incarceration, like they're doing collateral incarceration and damage of the people of Iraq. Tyler, Texas. We've gone over how 10% of a black population was wrapped up and thrust into prison off of the fake and false testimony of one little punk cop. Everything that they're doing in Iraq, they're doing in Sam on Sam's plantation. And they have been exposed for doing this on Sam's plantation. They've beaten people to death, literally, on Sam's plantation in their prison systems. They've had situations where they've had little to no trial or fair trials. Punk lawyers falling asleep and being drunk. And the Supreme Court saying, well, that's good enough. That's close enough. This is all a mockery. Frame-ups, collateral damage, sodomization, rapes, tortures. Burge, who's now kicking it in Florida, the former Chicago police cop, he was putting cattle prods or some kind of electrodes to people's ears and genitals. He crank it up, fry you up. How this all got out was one inmate was falling back into the grill furnace. And the grill furnace, which was real hot, burnt a pattern, a checkerboard-like pattern into his back. So after all this torture, he had to go to the regular hospital. And the doctor, seeing this, knew he was tortured, and the prison guards couldn't explain their way away. So he started an investigation, and lo and behold, you had all of these prison inmates with all these same checkerboard patterns on their damn back, all with the same burnt ear lobes and burnt testicles. So Burge and company get exposed for torturing people and trying to get them to confess to anything that they wanted them to confess on. And lo and behold, since that time, you've had all of these people who ended up walking out of prison who were on death row in that same town, Chicago, who've been proven to be not guilty, and you've had Burge quietly retire, and he's off playing golf in Florida right now.
Free man.
In the same way that Toto Constance is off kicking at nightclubs, the butcher of Haiti.
No, he might have went back.
Oh, the last I heard, he was still down there. The last I heard, he's still kicking it in New York. Going to nightclubs and things like that. The butcher of frap against the Haitian people. Terrorists.
Absolutely. So, listening to what Tracy just said, listening to this Rumsfeld, let's put this all together. What are they trying to do with the media today and these tortures? I went to moveon.org. I didn't even want to bother printing it out. It was so sickening. Their whole thing is, this is a besmirchment of the American honor. This is the Democratic Party's website, my man. The Democratic Party, that's what they got. What about the people? And by the way, is it wrong? So here with all this media, what they're coming out with, if you look at it carefully, we are being asked to believe that only abuse... The only abuse that occurred against anyone detained by American forces in Iraq was photographed and reported. Stop and think. Is that possible? Come on. That got caught on film, video, or people took... Do you really think that's the only abuse? No abuse has occurred anywhere that were not photographed or reported. I want you to think about that. The percentage of U.S. troops who are so-called bad apples, all happen to serve together in the same unit. The unit that is the only one guilty and that happened to get caught because of the photographs. Now, come on, folks. Come on, people. The aggressive investigation now being proclaimed by everyone from George W. Bush to CENTCOM about abuses that were already on record in the military. An internal investigation had already been launched in February by Major General Antonio Taguba, but was kept from the public. Would have happened had the photographs and story not been aired on national television. They're trying to say, this is the one. Now, you know damn well, if those pictures had not been on 60 Minutes too, we wouldn't have been talking about it right now, y'all.
They didn't even want the pictures of the dead U.S. G.I. Joes shown on Koppel's show.
And fired the woman that did that. And by the way, I just...
You're talking about the caskets. The woman who took the picture of the caskets.
Right.
When Ted Koppel showed the pictures of the dead G.I. Joes.
25% of the programs in America that usually take that program did not take Nightline. Nightline was too radical.
Now, that's your corporate media.
That's it. Now, wait a minute. The military was not attempting to cover up their own investigation, and that they would have informed the public of these abuses even if Seymour Hersh had not put the whole miserable episode into print. They want us to believe that the military did not cover up anything in the 2 weeks between the time CBS warned them that they were about to air an expose and when they actually did it. By the way, a general told CBS, look, it'd be real bad if you did it now. Things are tense in Iraq. And CBS adhered to the general and did not show the photographs for 2 weeks. It was only the fact that they knew it was already slipping out and they wanted to get at least a part of the scoop that led them to do it. No one in the chain of command above Brigadier General Janusz Karpinski is responsible for the failure to halt these abuses, even though Lieutenant General Ricardo S. Sanchez was informed of the investigation of these abuses, complete with sworn statements and photographs by General Taguba last February. Other abuses and violations of the Geneva Convention and laws of warfare are already on record, and some with videos available on the web, such as I mentioned before, shooting people who are clearly not armed and who are engaged in no threatening behavior, civilians, shooting into ambulances, shooting wounded people who are not armed, shooting wounded people who are obviously not able to continue fighting, shooting into crowds. These are all inhumane activities. Is it out of the American character? To ask the question is to answer it.
And when you've been convicted of international terrorism for the role that you played in Nicaragua, it's kind of hard to pretend that you're other than what you are, a brute terrorist. Now, once again, let's go back about 8 months, and let's listen again on how smug Rumsfeld is on the issue of finding Saddam and the role of the U.S. military to come, and how the corporate media is dealing with him there. Check this out.
We haven't found Saddam Hussein, and I don't know anyone who's running around saying he didn't exist. It takes time. Does that sound reasonable? Yeah, I like it too.
How about taking some of the troops out and bringing the war fighters home and turning the job over to somebody else over there?
Somebody else? Who do you have in mind?
Troops that are back in South Carolina, North Carolina. And
oh, other American troops. I see. Well, we're doing two things, and Dick, you may want to comment, but we're doing two things. One is we'll have normal rotations, and there will be people who leave, and already a number of naval personnel have left, and a number of Air Force personnel have left, and there will be a rotation set up for ground forces. In addition, we're doing a lot of I think you said today, 41?
41, we think, when it all sorts out. We're working with two different conferences. I think 41 nations that will contribute troops for the stability operations inside Iraq. And of course, they will be used to replace those forces that are in there now or augment them depending on the security situation, but probably in most cases replace them. And a fairly substantial force. Yet, we're in the final details of that. It'll take some time, but we're almost there.
The numbers that are committed to do that, countries, are much smaller than 41. I think 41 is the number, as Dick said, that we're in discussions with. And in some cases, it's dependent on their parliaments. Now that the UN resolution is there, a good deal of it is opened up, and they're able to do it, a lot of countries. Some still need their cabinets or their parliaments to agree, and in some cases it'll require raising funds to assist them, or raising things like airlift or combat support, that type of thing. And we have to mix and match all of that, and that process is taking place. The hope is that by fall, I think, September 1st, or...
Could be even earlier, and it's substantial numbers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking large numbers here.
You're shooting for three divisions.
Now, you see how slovenly the corporate media just allowed Rumsfeld to just spout off this stuff. He gets he becomes a smartass when someone asks him about the weapons of mass destruction not being found. And he says, well, look, Saddam hasn't been found yet. He hadn't been found at that time. And no one has never said that he doesn't exist. And they let him get away with that. And actually credited him for being, a little, smartass and stuff. But then the way the corporate media works for the rest of us, they would tell you or I that if there's no pictures in existence, that torture would not have existed. In other words, what I'm saying is that there was all this information out beforehand, all of these reports that had been done by various people, and the corporate media did not say anything, by and large, about all of these grave travesties and barbarities that were taking place, even though it was existing. Only when the pictures came out, they said, okay, well, look, look, master, the game's up. You know, you're going to have to, come out and do an apology and shuffle a little bit. Now, also, Rumsfeld says, we'll have our normal rotations and stuff like that. He was saying this back then, and it was clear that they were grinding themselves into more and more crisis, and none of these reporters said, rotation? Rotate them with who? You ain't got a draft going on, and you're running out of men. You ain't going to be rotating no one anytime soon. You're going to be holding people back. And as we now see, it's even more blatant and obvious. They're holding people and I forgot the term that they have, extended stay or something, like you're staying at Holiday Inn, but what that really means is that your ass is not going back home to Alabama. You got to spend 4 more months out in this 120 degree heat with getting the rations of 2 bottled waters, and I hope your money or your family sent you some money to buy a Kevlar vest, because you're going to get your ass shot out if you don't. So that's the real world. But none of this type of stuff was challenged by any of these corporate media figures that were interviewing him right there, and they were just letting him just ramble on all smug and stuff, talking all of this smack.
Oh, yeah.
That's the role of the corporate media, you can see it even more in light now in the aftermath of what has come and transpired.
You're absolutely right. The head-fixing industry, we find y'all guilty of facilitating lies to the people. But I had a question. How do you know if Rumsfeld is lying? Well, I know the answer to that one. If he's talking, he's lying. You know what? There's lies, more bold-faced lies. Weapons of mass destruction. That's already been discredited. But those who listen to this program, I think you might know, because we've talked about how they have been forcing GIs to stay in the Army additional time. He knew it back then. Why? Because they don't want to institute the draft just now. Why not? Why don't you just tell the American people the truth? We need more troops. This is important war, war, terrorism. So let us in there. Or let us give us your babies, so we can send them over there and get... Not only, we're going to turn them into degenerates. That's what we're going to do. I don't know what condition they might be when they come to us, but when we let them go, they're finished. The kind of stuff we're going to have them doing, all right? Now, let's think about that. Why then don't they just reintroduce? Because they're not totally, they may be reactionary, but they're not stupid. They know if they start the draft, then a whole lot of them little white boys who normally go along with the program are going to enter the fray. And the anti-war movement is going to go from millions to tens of millions. They don't intend to let that happen right now. but the day after the election, and I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, don't matter whether it's a Democrat or Republican, they both share the same program of world domination. They will reinstitute the draft.
Now, next, this is the current Rumsfeld. And listen to how he's playing victim as he talks about how lies are being spread about the U.S. in places like Afghanistan and what they're doing over there. So let's check Crybaby out. Take this.
About future coalition countries, I think the key determinative there is whether or not we are successful in getting an additional UN resolution, in which case I think we will get additional countries to participate. And it certainly will not have any effect on the determination to have a sovereign responsibility assumed by Iraqis by June 30th. And I would just say one other thing. We have been enormously disadvantaged by false allegations and lies for the better part of the year, and indeed before that with respect to Afghanistan, by terrorists and terrorist organizations alleging things that weren't true. So we have taken a beating in the world for things we were not doing that were alleged to be done. And now we're taking a beating, understandably, for things that did in fact happen.
This is unbelievable.
Sick puppy.
Now, like I said before, see, that's proof there is no God, because that lightning bolt would have crashed down on his head right then and there. This nonsense about the terrorist alliance, and they're taking a beating, like they have such a wide network. They have such a wide, powerful propaganda machine with satellites that can spread their communication all over the place. And Sam is just withering, you know, in a cave, you know, with a dialysis machine hooked up to him. I mean, this is, they're trying to flip everything
around. Pull the cord.
It's the other way around. This is rhetoric. And the fact that this fool can get up there. I mean, this is the country that intentionally set up and used the H-bomb as a terror weapon. They knew that Japan was finished. They had broken into the communications and saw that that the Japanese and the emperor were trying to look for a noble way to give up. But they wanted to send that message to the Soviet Union that they were the new big boy in town. And they intentionally dropped two atomic bombs on a civilian population as a message of terror to the Soviet Union and the world that Sam is an empire to be, not to be messed with.
Look what I got.
Terrorism Incorporated.
You ain't got the nerve to call somebody a damn terrorist. Are you sure? Is this the fantasy, man? The coalition? What coalition? Brothers and sisters, I actually took the time to go to the government website and actually look up the coalition. I read it on air the other day.
Mr. Death Squad Coordinator Negroponte gets put in to take the place of...
the ambassador.
The ambassador in Iraq. So once they, Honduras said, well, wait a minute, we can't even go for that. Our own people will lynch us now. This dude spread terror all over our countryside.
That's right.
And now you're going to have him take the role of the ambassador? So we getting out.
In fact, y'all, the average number of troops of a lot of these countries is like 500 to 100. They call it the coalition of the willing. But apparently it's the coalition of the not so willing.
And like I said before, they have more private warriors there than any other nation has combined outside of America. So it's Sam with the most troops, and then all these little private mercenaries, you know, Blackwater, Steel Foundation, all of that type of stuff. But next, let's listen to Seymour Hersh. He's the writer for the New Yorker magazine who broke one of the stories about the terror and torture going on. And he talks about the importance of the report that has been written about the prison.
Just For him to talk about a UN resolution at that time was also laughable. And lastly, to say sovereign and Iraq out of his lying mouth at the same time is an insult to your intelligence, brothers and sisters.
So let's check out what Hirsch has to say about the report that was written and known by the various forces. Check this out.
First of all, it's probably the best report. I've been doing this stuff for a long time. It's probably the most concise, direct report I've ever read. This guy is really full of integrity, which is good. The terrible truth is that, according to his report, since last summer, the Army's had a lot of reason to worry about its prison system, and actually since Afghanistan. Last summer, the high command in Iraq, headed by Lieutenant General Ricardo Sanchez, authorized two studies last summer into the whole question of how the prison system and interrogation. The second of which was done by the former provost marshal of the United States Army, the chief law enforcement officer, a major general named Donald Ryder. And Tagoub was sort of tore into that report, said that, you know, Ryder concluded that although there were a lot of problems, administrative problems, and people weren't being processed correctly, and the system had broken down, there was no real torture. And Tagoub said, boy, he missed it. And so the problem isn't so much what the kids showed or what the generals say, General Myers and others. The problem is this report. And it's just a devastating report, and you described it totally accurately. It's as sharp as you depicted it. So the Army's got to deal with this report.
So here you have a situation where, as he says, Brzezinski, Janice Brzezinski, she has a nerve. She's the one who is supposed to be in charge over there of the prisons. She says, before all this stuff comes out, in an article that's not challenged by the corporate media, that the living conditions in the prisons in Iraq are so good that they may have a hard time to get people to go home because it's better than how they live at home. This exposes the filth and the degradation of the corporate. I mean, it's clear that they're an agent. Here's a woman now who's backed out, says, I don't know, I didn't know this was going on, all this stuff. But the corporate media unchallenged her, did not challenge her, in the same way they weren't challenging beforehand Rumsfeld on these issues that were easily discredited. You had Human Rights Watch, you had Amnesty International, you had, you know, all of these different organizations that were writing things. You had testimony of people on just a basic living, everyday walk of life type of scenario who were saying these things to anyone who was on the ground who wanted to know. But since the corporate media was so busy having an orgasm while they were in bed with the American military, they couldn't hear the screams of the people right outside of their bedroom door who were being tortured. Now next, here's Rumsfeld being asked a straightforward and simple question about who was in charge. Now you heard how smug he was before and all of this stuff. Now, this is the thing going on now where he's in front of the Senate and all of that type of stuff. And they're asking him a simple question. The chain of command. Who's in charge? Now let's see what he has to say. Check this out.
Really is scathing about the way she ran her.
Oh, wait.
She was in charge, but...
First, this is Hirsch finishing off about Janice Brzezinski.
Janice Brzezinski as a brigadier general, reservist. But she'd been in the Army for a long time, served with the Special Forces and served during the Gulf War. He described it in the most, as simply as probably the worst headquarters he'd ever seen. She was in charge of the three major prisons. And when we use the word prison, we have to remember what we're talking about. The people in these prisons are civilians. What happened, and even in the Google report, he makes the point that more than 60% of those people had nothing to do with the lack of security in Iraq, but simply people trying to mind their business, run their lives. There was a separate wing for women and children. There was no process for filtering out those who were innocent from those who were potentially insurgents or potentially al-Qaeda or troublemakers or criminals. There simply was every process they had broke down under the Geneva Convention. These people non-combatant detainees must be processed. They must give it within months. They have to be given a procedure so that they, you can make a determination whether they should be kept. And there was none of this was going on. So there's nothing wonderful about the way she ran her operation, but it's also true, as she's been saying publicly for the last few days, that she really didn't have control over the interrogation process. What happened is the military system there, I guess the fair thing to say is that we had turned every prison in Iraq into Guantanamos. The whole function of the prison system was to get interrogations going, to break down people, to get interrogations going so we can extract information, you know, this sort of confounding and befuddling opposition we have and continue to have in Iraq that we simply don't know who, what, where. And we are trying to get more information about them. It's all sort of, besides being, it's sad, actually, to put it mildly.
The whole job was to break down people. Now, see, this comes within the matrix of the collective guilt strategy. We all know about the whole collective guilt of black folks here. Find a Negro, any Negro, lynch a Negro. The same thing is being done to the Iraqi people. First, they were all Saddamized. It was, you know, a big nation of Saddams. So now, since they've been so demonized and removed of having any kind of human norm, this is how you can combine all the people together in these little gulags, as Hirsch was saying. The innocent with the so-called guilty, the combatants with the non-combatants, women, men, everyone is just rounded up and not given any kind of true due process. And the whole purpose at the end of the day is to break you down, because when you were there as an imperialist occupying force, that's your main goal in the first place. All the other stuff you're saying is basically rhetoric and justification for your domination of the indigenous people. But now here is Rumsfeld being asked the straightforward question I was talking about earlier. And all he's being asked is, who's in charge? Who was in charge, and what's the chain of command? And let's see how Rumsfeld deals with this.
But you can submit the chain of command, please.
General Smith, you want to...
No, Secretary Rumsfeld, in all due respect, you've got to answer this question, and it could be satisfied with a phone call. This is a pretty simple, straightforward question. Who was in charge of the interrogations? What agencies... and what, or private contractors, were in charge of the interrogations? Did they have authority over the guards? And what were the instructions to the guards? This goes to the heart of this matter.
It does indeed. As I understand it, there were two contractor organizations. They supplied interrogators and linguists. And I was advised by General Smith that there were maybe a total of 40.
Now, were they in charge of the interrogations?
37 interrogators.
Witnesses' voices are not being recorded. You'll have to speak into your microphone. Would you repeat the conversation in response to the senator's question?
Yes, sir. There were 37 interrogators that were...
I'm asking who was in charge of the interrogations.
So they were not in charge. They were interrogators.
My question is, who was in charge of the interrogations?
The brigade commander for the military intelligence brigade.
Lieutenant General Lance Smith,
Deputy
Commander,
Central
Command.
Did he also have authority over the guards?
Questions from John McCain.
Sir, he had tactical control over the guards, so he was...
Mr. Secretary, you can't answer these questions?
I can. I thought the purpose of the question was to try to make sure we got an accurate presentation, and we have the expert here who was in the chain of command.
I think these are fundamental questions to this issue.
Fine.
What were the instructions to the guards?
There's two sets of responsibilities, as your question suggests. One set are the people who have the responsibility for managing the detention process. They are not interrogators. The military intelligence people, as General Smith has indicated, were the people who were in charge of the interrogation part of the process. And the responsibility, as I have reviewed the matter, shifted over a period of time. And the general is capable of telling you when that responsibility shifted.
What were the instructions to the guards?
That is what the investigation that I've indicated has been undertaken.
But Mr. Secretary, that's a very simple, straightforward question.
Well, as Chief of Staff of the Army can tell you, the guards are
trained to guard people. They're not trained to interrogate. They're not, and their instructions are to, in the case of Iraq, adhere to the Geneva Conventions. The Geneva Conventions apply to all of the individuals there in one way or another. They apply to the prisoners of war, and they're written out, and they're instructed, and the people in the army train them to that, and the people in the Central Command have the responsibility of seeing that, in fact, their conduct is consistent with the Geneva Conventions. The criminals in the same detention facility are handled under a different provision of the Geneva Convention. I believe it's the fourth, and the prior one's the third.
So the guards were instructed to treat the prisoners under some kind of changing authority, as I understand it, according to the Geneva Conventions.
Absolutely.
I thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I hope you G.I. Joes heard that. Rumsfeld was trying to put it all on you all.
Right.
Now, you all know that I ain't down with you. If you strap on those boots, those cowboy boots, and go off into anyone's foreign land or try to step into West Oakland, your ass is ours as far as I'm concerned. The hell with you. You're the enemy, period. I don't play around on that stuff. But at the end of the day, this person that you look up to and you think you're fighting for, he's going to try to throw some Geneva Convention stuff that you're supposed to read, even though they never told you to read it, because they're too busy telling you to go out there and do what they say.
Kill, kill, kill.
They go by their own rules. They're in the UN. Sam's in the UN. They weren't going by any UN resolutions. They ignored it and just went against everyone in the world. They started this whole illegal combatant stuff. They just made it up. Made it up. In violation of the Geneva Convention.
Exactly.
Started holding people hostage in these things. And then all of a sudden, want to try to moonwalk back. Whoop, 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 whoop. And then, and then pretend that you, G.I. Joe, are supposed to follow the Geneva Convention.
That's what's wrong.
He's throwing out the lynch rope from you. He's saying, you all are on your own now. I'm riding off into the sunset. And then he's going to say something that was so profound that you guards are there to guard people. We know that, fool. Of course the guards are there to guard people. This is just a hocus pocus game. This is how you end up looking like a fool and dying for a foolish cause. That's why all you clowns who get your ass shot off there and you hear me clowning, that's because you're getting clowned. You're not fighting for no noble cause. You're fighting for a ruling elite class that has just as much disdain for you as it does for the Iraqi kids who are dying from depleted uranium.
That's it. I ain't got nothing. What can I say? You guys ain't been, the soldiers ain't been reading the Geneva Convention, huh? Lord.
Now, as we wrap this up, this last thing, Dar, the cat from Iraq, he talks about the full, he's the author of the book Full Spectrum Dominance. He talks about what he has uncovered himself in Iraq. Some of the information that he has been pulling and some of the articles he has written about on what's going on and has been going on in Iraq. So let's check out what Dar has to say. Dig this.
Very glad that, well, of course I have mixed feelings, but I'm very glad that this information is finally coming out. These are things that have been occurring in Iraq since the very beginning of the occupation. Human rights watch groups have been documenting this, Amnesty International, Christian Peace Team, Occupation Watch. Several groups have been on this from the beginning. If you come over here for any length of time, you start meeting Iraqis who either themselves have been detained and had these horrendous things happen to them, or know people who have, or even have witnessed it themselves. I have been working on a story that's going to be released this evening on a particular case that occurred last July in Kirkuk. What happened was there's a 57-year-old Iraqi man named Sadiq Zoman who was detained by U.S. forces during a home raid. He was held by them, transferred to Crete, and there apparently is where he was beaten, bludgeoned in the head. He was electrocuted. He had electric burns on his hands. And there are photos of this as well. He was whipped across the back and tortured so heavily that he slipped into a coma. So this happened while he was in detention. Then he was transferred to a U.S. Army field hospital where he was held for 12 days until they checked on him. It was obvious he was not going to recover, not going to pull out of his coma, and was then dispatched to a hospital in Crete with papers basically saying, well, he had a heart attack and a heat stroke, even though he had the back of his head bludgeoned in, electrical burn marks in his hands, on his penis, whip marks across his back. One of his hands was broken, both of his thumbs were broken, and bruises all up and down his body. So he was then transferred down to Baghdad eventually once his family found him, and now he is in a coma in his home in the Al-Dour region of Baghdad. His wife and 9 daughters are trying to care for him, trying to deal with the expensive medicines he needs every month to stay alive. They sold literally everything in their home to try to keep feeding him and buying the supplies and the medicines that he needs. This is just one instance of this. I did actually post the story last January. It didn't get hardly any attention because I guess people just couldn't believe this sort of thing was being done by the U.S. military. But now, with all of the media attention and all of this coming out, and that's why there's so many different pictures coming out and so many different stories, because it's been going on now for about a year. And this one case in particular, I have documented it heavily. I've written it up in a very comprehensive, very researched story. It's going to be released tonight. And there's just stories like this all around Baghdad. Everyone who knows someone that this has happened to, and it's very easy to find. It is rampant. It is absolutely not isolated in its incidences. By reprimanding 6 or 7 soldiers, that's going to take care of the problem. The entire prison system here is rampant, and everyone here in Iraq knows it. Every Iraqi knows it, and that it's finally getting some media attention is a good thing.
And it would be a good thing when Sam is put in the casket for once and all.
Oh, yes.
This nonsense about torturing people into a heart attack, breaking their hands, smashing in their skulls. Whether you're talking about this one brother who this just happened to in Iraq, or actually back in September, or Muhammad Butt, who was an Arab who was thrown in the American gulags after Ashcroft started his rounding up of all the undesirables and incarcerating them under horrendous conditions. And what did Muhammad Butt officially die of, according to the Empire? A heart attack. And then when his personal family had an autopsy done, they saw ribs cracked and all other types of beatings done to his body. So here you have a situation where we have a person, whether you are from Iraq or whether you're a brother from San Francisco, who gets 3 cans of pepper spray sprayed on your face, stomped and beat to death by the police, thrown into a surgical mask to suffocate in the back of a police paddy wagon, only to have the police in San Francisco say that you died of some kind of cocaine affliction. Only when the independent autopsy came out by the black family, that then it came out that no, it had more to do with the 3 cans of pepper spray, that not being wiped off, him being savagely beaten and kicked and having all kinds of marks all over his body. In essence, what I'm saying is whether you live in Iraq or on Sam's plantation, the whole world is being turned into a giant Indian reservation. And Sam is still playing George Armstrong Custer. The thing is like Crazy Horse, we're going to have to put this new Custer to rest for good. Hold on a sec.
Do you know a terrorist? Not long ago, this would have seemed like a ridiculous question, but not anymore. The United States government is offering rewards of up to $25 million for information that prevents an international terrorist act against U.S. persons or property, or brings to justice persons who have committed one. To date, more than $8 million has been paid. Stop and think about it. Information about suspicious activities involving aircraft, about stolen explosives or biological materials, about letters or packages. It all could add up to preventing a terrorist act. Now do something about it. Call Rewards for Justice at 1-800-US-REWARDS. 1-800-US-REWARDS. Or email us at mail@rewardsforjustice.net. You may be eligible for a reward. Your call or email will remain confidential. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of State and this station.
Now, are you clear where you live? Is it not clear that we are not in the land of the beast, where the beast itself says that you need help and protection and to call on to him, when he is the barbarian of the planet? A barbarian of the planet that needs a few notes as we wrap this up from a Draftomania. Hold on a sec. Wrap this up. You know what time it is. A few notes from a Draftomania. You know, recently you haven't heard me talk too much about Haiti. And part of the reason is that many of the things that have transpired has really been unnecessary. Here, I started to decide that after this recent successful coup of the U.S. Empire, that I was going to search and see if I could find any information on what had happened in 2001 when these same characters tried to smash their way into Haiti, and what transpired and what should have been the learned lessons. So here's a report back that I finally ended up finding that was reported in 2001 when an unsuccessful coup attempt by the same type of individuals was repelled. Check this out.
Members of Lavalas took him and they put him into their own protective custody, and he's been arrested. It seems to me as if the situation has completely changed. The political landscape has changed here. This is not a popular movement that is going to allow a similar coup d'etat that happened in 1991 against the Aristide government. They now have shown today that they have the wherewithal and they have the arms to be able to protect democracy and protect this government. Now, of course, this will raise other questions for the international community, who has consistently accused them of being a violent mob and who has consistently tried to portray them as a violent movement. But let's also remember that the CIA also did a bogus psychological profile against Aristide, which said that he was a madman who was on lithium and was institutionalized in Canadian mental institution, and we know that that was a bogus report. Now, we've got to try to reconcile these two things. One is how Lavalas has been consistently portrayed in the international press as a violent organization, with the fact that people feel it is their right to arm themselves to protect democracy in Haiti.
Well, there it is. In 2001, everything that I had been calling for to happen this time around had happened. the masses of the people were armed enough to defend them damn selves. The only difference was that the U.S. military, CIA, psyops, and corporate media system propagandized the enemy as being much stronger than what they were, and then they used Aristide, who basically has false hope and belief, into basically not playing a role in basically trying not to unleash his masses of people to defend themselves. But in essence, it's not down to Aristide, because the people who are really suffering are us, the masses of people, whether we're talking about West Oakland or in Haiti. It's down to us to defend ourselves by our own rights and our own arms, not to be fallen under some illusion by some barbaric, psychopathic nation that not gives a damn about our basic lives. And not defending ourselves, not raising our arms, has brought more terror. It hasn't brought less terror. All of these little pacifists that are all happy that an armed rebellion didn't take place in Haiti, look what is taking place now. Terrorism, barbarity, disappearances, all in the name of U.S. imperialism and domination. We've done it before in the past. We have a tradition of doing it, from Amistad to Frederick Douglass and the armed revolutionary forces that he helped unleash, to the Custer's last stand ass whipping from heroic people like Crazy Horse, Two Moon, Touch the Clouds, and Rain in the Face, to all the mass movements, from the slave rebellion that took place by the Zanj, who fought against the imperial Islamic slave forces in the region that is now called Baghdad in Iraq today. It's up to us to raise our consciousness, crystallize what we need to do for our own interests, because it's our own lives that are at stake. Now, that's just going to about wrap it up for Slave tonight. It's more than clear that what these barbarians want to do is make us grovel down in defeat and in death at their imperialist knees. But what we need to do is to unify and stand up and make all of us want to holler for revolution. Until the next time, Slave Revolt. Out. Da 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 da